This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Your Cleveland Cavaliers. They take on the Miami Heat tonight. Game two of the Eastern Conference playoffs. You can see it on NBA TV. I think also locally FanDuel, right? So you can see it. But if you want to watch the NBA TV one, you can, of course. And we welcome in from SiriusXM NBA Radio, NBA Today, the host of NBA Today, Justin Termini, joins us this morning. Hello, Justin.
You can also listen to it on SiriusXM NBA Radio.
You can also talk like this. Sorry, Justin.
Termini, you will be delighted to know that I was in a cab leaving Boston yesterday, going to Logan Airport.
The hell you say?
And the guy had on your station. He had on your station. And I said, hey, who do you like on this station? And he goes, oh, I love Isola. I love Scalabrini. He goes, I love Worldwide WAB.
He did not say Justin Termini,
though. That was the end of the conversation.
Wow. Thoughts, Termini, go.
Oh, he said he liked the guy from Phoenix, the guy that used to play from Phoenix.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Eddie Johnson. I'm surprised that you actually made it to the airport. The guy wasn't so stupid that he was driving in reverse, because anybody that likes those guys is too dumb to drive a car.
My gosh. All right. Justin Termini.
Thanks for calling me, by the way, when you came here to watch
you.
Your wife won the marathon, correct?
Yes, I did. It was. Did you go out there? Were you on the course?
No, I was working, so I didn't go out there. I'm not going to be that close to exercise. No.
Does anybody even care about the Celtics right now? Is it until they get to the Eastern Conference Finals? That's when the city comes alive. Because I got to tell you, I saw more Bruins stuff. I saw more Red Sox stuff. I know they had a series there with the White Sox. I saw more of everybody but the Celtics. What is that all that about?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't know where you were actually planted. I mean, were you over by, like, the Red Sox game? Because I know they do the marathon Monday. They do the Red Sox game. But I'm living right on top of the actual arena. So it's humming over here in this area. And I think people are probably a little bit on edge in the last 24 hours because you got that bad news on Jason Tatum's thumb.
Well, that's what I was – that is a big deal right now? Is that considered a huge deal?
I would say so, only because if you look at Tatum, like Tatum had that quote a couple of years ago, where he's like, even if it's a game on a random Tuesday in Charlotte, I'm going to play. So the guy never misses any time. He's 114 for 114 in all his postseason games. And I would say more concerning is the fact that he's never missed more than 10 regular season games in this era of load management. So if he's going to miss, he never misses like a random, like I said, game in the middle of the regular season. So if he's doubtful for a game in the postseason, that tells you that the thumb is, or the wrist is, probably an issue.
The outstanding Justin Termini joining us on the show. So how long do you think this series goes? Do you think the Cavs win it?
Yeah, I mean, I never pick a sweep. You're talking about against the Heat, correct?
Obviously, yes.
Well, I mean, I don't know, because obviously you shouldn't need to ask me who's going to win the series. It's going to be Cleveland.
Well, I have to ask you. It's a formality. Maybe you're like, oh, can I actually think the Heat come back and get him? I don't know what you're going to say.
Yeah, well, no, I'm not going to say that. But, yeah, so they're going to win it. But I never pick a sweep, although I would pick a sweep with the Thunder and in Memphis. In this one, I would give, like, maybe Miami one game. But, you know, you probably should sweep it. I mean, the talent differential is that big.
What can the Cavs learn from this? Most notably, Kenny Atkinson, as he takes on a guy who has so much playoff experience to get ready for the next round. And then I'm presuming that they will play the Celtics in the Eastern Conference Finals.
Yeah. I mean, I think you guys kind of got screwed for the second round opponent, because who would you rather face right now, Indiana or New York? And I've been saying this for weeks, not just recently. I think Indiana's a far significantly better team than the Knicks are. So you getting them in the second round, even though you're the one seed, I think hurts a little bit, because I would pick Cleveland in that series, but I don't think it's like it's the foregone conclusion that you would necessarily assume. Like, I think it's a foregone conclusion, as long as Boston is healthy, that they would beat the Knicks in the second round. And I'll say the Knicks will come out of that Piston series, because I think the Knicks are just not good enough. And I think Cleveland, it would have been the same thing. I would have guaranteed Cleveland would have easily beat the Knicks. I wouldn't say that about the Pacers. I don't know how you guys feel about that.
I've not been all that worried about the Pacers. They have looked good, but they're playing a Milwaukee team that I feel like they've had a foot out the door, except for Giannis. And they even got a game out of Portis yesterday off the bench. I mean, what do you have, 28 points? And still, they were not a threat. So, the Pacers offensively, I think they can hang a little bit with the Cavs. I just don't know defensively how they're going to do anything to stop the Cavs.
Yeah, I mean, so I'm not talking about just what they've done in this series. If you go back four, you know, the four best teams in the NBA since December 13th are the Thunder, then your Cavs, then the Celtics, and then Indiana. And Indiana's only one game behind the Celtics during that span. So it's been like a four-month ordeal where Indiana's played this way. And they're also a top-seven defense. Like, I know that would probably shock a ton of people, but they've been a top-10 defense, actually top-7 for 4 months. So, they've been well-rounded. So they scare me a little bit.
Justin Termini with us right now on the hotline. So the Cavs have been going very deep, and they can afford to do it. Kenny Atkinson said, look, that's our philosophy. Meanwhile, you're seeing other teams right now in the playoffs are scared you-know-what to play anything more than like six guys on their team. I mean, look at the Lakers right now, who did win last night, but they certainly don't trust a bunch of guys on their bench. Is that a strength for the Cavs that they can maintain that even in a Eastern Conference Finals against the Celtics? Can they feel good playing that many guys?
I mean, I don't know what you think. I would say that's a regular season strength to win a ton of games. It's a regular season strength to be able to rest guys and keep guys fresh, as Kenny Atkinson did all year. It's like you look at the numbers of Mitchell and Garland, et cetera. Like, their minutes per game are far different from guys on the Knicks, guys on the Celtics who play their starters a lot. So I think it's like an advantage in the regular season. I think it's an advantage maybe even when you're playing a series like this where you should win. But I think you got to tighten that up a little bit, probably maybe next round, definitely in the conference finals. Not with guys like, coming off the bench like, DeAndre Hunter or Ty Jerome. Like, they still should be getting a ton of minutes. But, are you going to use, Isaac Okoro as much, a Sam Merrill, a Dean Wade? I don't know about that.
Justin Termini joining us here on the show. What have you thought? Well, first off, is Evan Mobley the defensive player of the year to you?
I voted for Dyson Daniels, but usually I give it to a big guy. I did have Evan Mobley second on my ballot. I think he is going to win it. And basically what I do on that one, because that was one of the hardest ones to vote for, is I'll ask a bunch of different people, like coaches, executives that I know within the league, who do you think? And I got more answers with the Dyson Daniels stuff. Plus, he was doing the historical stuff in regards to the most steals we've seen in, 20, 30, 40 years. So I went with Dyson Daniels. Thought he was surrounded by guys that couldn't defend around him. So he had to do a little bit more work. But I would have no issue with Evan Mobley. Out of all the people I talked to in regards to the bigs, he's the guy that got the nod over Draymond Green.
Did you take any umbrage with Draymond Green campaigning for himself to win the award, basically as like a send-off to his career?
But yeah, I mean, I was flipping out over that. I was saying, like, it sets a bad precedent. And first of all, that's an award that people, try and get a lot. Like, Bam Adebayo is always complaining about it. Anthony Davis is always complaining about it. I thought it would have set a bad precedent if the media caved in. And still, they might. We haven't seen the results yet. But if, like, they give it to him over a guy like Evan Mobley, Dyson Daniels, Lou Dort, those guys really didn't say anything about the award. They just actually let their performance speak for itself. So Draymond wasn't even on my first team all-defense. He was second-team all-defense for me.
So Ty Jerome ends up third for sixth man of the year, Hunter fourth. And you saw Jerome was electrifying in the playoff debut with the Cavs. Just how much of a difference maker do you think he truly can be for this Cavs team if they're going to make a big-time run in the playoffs?
No, I mean, listen, he's capable of being the best bench guy in the entire NBA. He's that good. You saw it in game one. You saw it throughout the course of the season. Pritchard, I think, is the better passer. Pritchard's the better rebounder. He's the better defender. But in regards to, like, explosive offense of output, like, Jerome's right up there. So, I think that's huge. If you get, like, a guy like that can give you a 28-point game in the Eastern Conference Finals where he wins you a game and it's not Donovan Mitchell or Darius Garland or Evan Mobley or Jared Allen, then that's huge. So, he's been awesome. I guess, like, this is a question for after the season, but now it's about trying to hold on to him.
Who's the biggest threat in the West?
So the threat to Oklahoma City, since Oklahoma City's the favorite, I think it's the Clippers. I'm surprised Denver's even been able to hold tough with them through the first two games, because I think LA is a lot better team than Denver. I think they're the second best team in the Western Conference. It's been that way for the last couple of months, especially with Kawhi playing at this level.
LeBron last night, the box score doesn't necessarily jump out at you, but he was really effective in an ugly game, a defensive struggle. Do you think the Lakers are going to come back and win this series now against the T-Wolves after they pulled that off yesterday?
Yeah, with Minnesota, I think Minnesota is the most extreme team from, they could basically go all the way to the conference finals, but they could also lose in four or five games. Now they can't lose in four, but I'm talking about what I felt about them prior to the start of the series. They could also lose in four or five games in the first round, because they just have these massive swings where they'll lose to the Pelicans at home, and then the next night, they'll beat they'll hang tough with the Thunder on the road. But ultimately, I think that the Lakers and their experience ends up pulling it out.
Justin Termini, SiriusXM NBA Radio on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Justin, thank you very much for the time.
Yeah, and if I'm in Cleveland for the finals this year, I guess I don't say hello and let you guys know I'm here, since that's what Lima did when he was here in Boston.
Now, in Germany, there is a chance, because the Cleveland Marathon is coming up. And as you know, I'm the MC of that great event. So if you come through here for the big race, which is in 23 days, May 17th, could be in the throes of the Eastern Conference Finals. You could be here. Maybe you could run the 10K.
If I didn't go to the Boston Marathon, which is a far more prestigious marathon, why the hell would I show up to the Cleveland Marathon?
Damn it.
Look, you guys have some tradition on us, there's no doubt, but I'm determined to enhance the profile of the Cleveland Marathon.
Do you do anything in the community?
Well, then they better get an MC. I harass the community.
Well, I'm glad you're contributing to society. It's a very nice thing.
Well, I just contributed by coming on and doing you guys a favor.
Justin, thank you for the time.
All right, farewell.
Justin Termini, SiriusXM NBA Radio on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.
We're talking about depth, and obviously Kenny Atkinson, and he had a chance to talk, over the last few days about how their philosophy, other teams are only going to play, the Lakers played seven guys big minutes yesterday, right? And that's something that LeBron's older, right? He can't really be doing that to make a full run. Maybe he's the one guy that can, because he's so such a freak still at this stage. The Cavs, I think, are going to be just fine playing a bunch of guys this series and probably against the Pacers next series.
You really think so about the Pacers, though? They look good. They look real tough.
They do. I still...
Just putting carts before horses here.
I think the Pacers will win a game or two. I think they'll threaten. They'll be much more of a threat than the Heat will. I still don't see them winning the series. I still think the Cavs are just better. Yeah, I'm putting the cart before the horse, because I think the Cavs are that good. And now Darius kind of turning things around here the last few weeks of the season after he was in that two-month slump. That is huge. And then you got Ty Jerome coming off the bench. That guy would start now on a bunch of teams in the NBA, maybe even some playoff teams.
I do have something here when it comes to possible trades here. Diana Russini says... this is from The Athletic. The majority of teams looking to move up see Travis Hunter as their target. Should they be able to entice New York or especially Cleveland with a suitable package? And there's also more rumor and innuendo about a certain somebody that we basically crossed off the list.
Yeah,
a couple
she
of weeks
says
ago.
The Browns, Steelers, and possibly Vikings could be involved in a Cousins trade. Minnesota looking at the least likely scenario, given their preference for J.J. McCarthy, and that Cousins would need to sign off on any trade he's involved in. It's believed that Cousins would be against any trade that involves sending him to a situation involving a young quarterback, similar to the situation he faced in Atlanta last year. If a trade were to happen, I'd expect it to go down on Saturday.
If they're listening in Berea, and I got nothing against that report, but if they're listening in Berea, I'm done. Don't do this. I'll do this.
Well, what's the point? Somebody would have to explain.
That's what I'm saying.
First of all, is Cousins better than Flacco right now?
I think it's negligible.
I don't think so. I mean, would anybody out there be celebrating a Cousins move?
No.
Maybe there would be. I'm not understanding that. I mean, look at their last seasons. Okay, the two of them. And Flacco wasn't as good as he was the year before, where he had the stretch run with the Browns, but.
Yeah.
I'm not entirely convinced that Cousins is even better.
No.
So why would you have to trade something to get him when you have Joe Flacco?
Are they just bringing up our name to get something stoked? Because he showed up to team activities yesterday. Kirk Cousins did. Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah did as well. We'll talk to Aditi Kinkabwala about that at 8:22 this morning. But Kirk Cousins showed up in Atlanta. And I would have to imagine that there's probably some, which was a surprise, but I would have to imagine there's got to be some agreement between the two with him showing up. It's like, hey, just be a good player here. Don't cause a distraction, and we'll work as hard as we can to move on from you as soon as something were to open up. There has to be an agreement there because it was basically understood that Kirk Cousins wasn't going to be there. But guys, Kirk Cousins does not get me jazzed up. I'm done. You're just going to give up more picks, and you're going to pay more money to another quarterback that I don't have any faith in. Do you have any faith in Kirk Cousins? It sounds like you don't. Does anybody out there have any faith in Kirk Cousins that he's going to save jobs, that he's going to take us to the playoffs? No, so I don't need to hear my name with them. And yeah, that even includes Pittsburgh, because I know anytime Pittsburgh's included, we have to reevaluate and go, well, because Pittsburgh's God's gift to football, we have to make sure that we're not messing up here. So if Pittsburgh's involved, then we have to think about it again. Okay, go ahead and think about it. Pittsburgh does not motivate me to make a move for Kirk Cousins. I think I'm just fine here. I think I'm fine to see, all right, we got our draft picks. Let's see who we bring in. Mary Kay says we need to move aggressively for Jalen Milroe. It was a strong statement by her. I don't know if I'd go that far for Jalen Milroe. I think he's a tremendous project. But let's see whatever rookie quarterback they bring in. And we'll go with Joe Flacco and or Kenny Pickett in whatever order that they decide. I'm fine with it. And I know it doesn't sound like I'm fine with it, right? I won't be fine with it in September. I swear to you guys on my children, if they do exactly as I just said, I'm not going to bitch at them. It is. The only thing I'll bitch at them about is that they made the deal for the guy I didn't want, and it set off this entire chain of events. But if I say, well, they didn't have a plan, I'm not going to, guys, I won't do that to you in October. I will just focus on trying to make this thing better in the future. So if that means me breaking down Garrett Nussmeier over and over and over again, or Lenoris Sellers over and over and over again, then fine. Is that fair enough? I won't do what I accused Daryl of, because Daryl didn't have a plan. And I go, Daryl, you're going to call us up in October and you're going to be screaming and yelling about guys getting fired and how they had no plan. You got to give them a plan. Okay, I'll lay my plan out. I'm ready to go with a rookie. You brought back Joe Flacco. I told you months ago, I said it would do a lot of goodwill with the fans to start the season with Joe Flacco. Kenny Pickett was not a part of that plan. I'll grant you that. Okay, you got Joe Flacco, you got Kenny, you got quarterback X out of the draft. You know I like Willow Howard later on, but they probably won't get him. And we'll see where that goes. And if they win a couple of games, fine. If they don't, well, then we'll move on. And that's the way it's going to go. We don't need to bring in another quarterback that we don't get excited for. I don't need to do that. When we get to Will in Medina, you're first up in the fan. Hello, Will.
Dang, that was quick. Hey, guys. Good morning. How you doing?
Doing well, Will. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think a lot of this talk that's going to come out, obviously, is really Barry maybe even putting it out there just to throw teams off the scent of what he might be trying to do.
Maybe.
If he's going to try and trade up for a first, then why not make it sound like he's not interested in a rookie quarterback, that he's only searching for veterans?
Yeah, that's a possibility, Will. Thank you very much for the call. I mean,
I just always laugh. Like,
there's always something out there.
Why would anybody buy into it? Why would anybody, knowing that – you know, they're just outright lying. Well, like, teams know what the needs really are. Is anybody buying that they want Kirk Cousins right now?
Well, maybe the Giants are thinking about it, but maybe everybody's just going, okay, some of this stuff is negotiated through the
they
media.
They would have waited
the temperature.
If they were truly doing that, they would have waited on Flacco.
I totally agree.
Them going and getting Flacco doesn't make any of this believable.
But do they throw this out there going, hey, let's take the temperature of it. Okay, take my temperature. Don't bring him here. That's enough. We have enough old quarterbacks. I don't need them. Don't want them. Don't need them. Don't give up any more picks. Don't give up any more money. I don't want the guy. I already have one beater car that I like. I already have one daily driver. I don't need another one sitting out in my driveway on cinder blocks. Because that's what's going to happen. One of them's going to end up sitting out in my driveway on cinder blocks. And my neighbor's going to be complaining because I'm making the neighborhood look bad and I'm bringing down the property value. Let's not do this. We are the only ones in the division that have quarterbacks with Super Bowl rings. I'm going to take that. I'm going to run with it as far as I possibly can, and I can't even run. I don't need to bring in anybody else. Kenny Atkinson said, you cannot just sit there and wait for these three guys to save every game. Hit it.
We expect them to make adjustments, right? Probably not going to let those three guys have those kind of games again, so we got to kind of spread the wealth and be able to adjust if they start to take those guys out.
Donovan, Darius, Ty Jerome, those three guys. Ty Jerome had 28 back on Sunday night. What do we expect to see out of any of these guys coming up later on tonight? 2 minutes away, I'm going to tell you about why I want the Lakers to win if we can.
Yeah, there's no reason to believe that the Cavs aren't going to get great looks with their guards again. They targeted Tyler Hero. The Heat really don't have the agitators. They have like Davion Mitchell who maybe he gets inserted into the starting lineup, but you know, you don't expect him to shoot as well as he did in game one. And that's the beauty of a 1-8, right? That's the beauty of a matchup situation. Or technically, what, Miami was, were they ninth when they came into the play?
Yes.
That is the beauty of everything you earned over the course of the regular season. Also, the beauty of the Eastern Conference. Because if you were in the Western Conference, I think plenty more teams would have given the Cavs a lot more. I don't think they would have won, but I'm just saying, the matchup would have been a lot harder than it is. Those teams just don't have the personnel. This team does not have the personnel to match up against you. And so while I give the Heat credit for hanging in there the way they did throughout, you know, up until most of the third, they just don't have enough. They don't have enough firepower to stick with you. And they don't have the defensive players even if they had Jimmy Butler. I said that when I called in on Monday. Even if they had Jimmy Butler, I'd still have the Cavs winning the series. It would just be a lot tighter.
If the Cavs can't win the NBA Finals, do you want to know why I want the Lakers to win the NBA Finals? It has nothing to do with you-know-who. Nico Harrison was talking. We don't have to worry about that audio right now there, Meredith, because I'm going to run short on time because I got to get this off my chest with everybody. Nico Harrison was talking, though, a couple of days ago, and he had mentioned that he didn't realize the fans loved Luka Doncic the way they love Luka Doncic down there. I mean, he was in tears when they went back and all that other stuff. I'm already seeing some revisionist history. If the Cavs can't win the NBA Finals, I want the Lakers to win the NBA Finals because you're going to end up being right. I got a long memory, and I think there'd be some people who might be a little bit controversial because we live in that every single day, but it's like they'll hang his number up in the rafters. They will retire his jersey as a Cleveland Cavalier. They will build a statue as a Cleveland Cavalier. It has nothing to do with LeBron. You're right. If he wins another championship with the Lakers, even though it's 2-1 and 2, and we're the only ones that have one, that's fine. Still a legend here. Still the greatest player to ever don a jersey, and he did it for 11 years. I want it because then people will forget about the Deshaun Watson trade more. We won't. Browns fans will not. But from the national perspective, I'm already seeing this as worst trade ever made.
Worst in sports.
Yes, yeah. Worst in sports history. And I go, boy, before this happened a couple of months ago, we all know what the worst trade in sports history was. And I don't have any argument against it. Like every February, you get annoyed when I do this, when people say, hey, this is the anniversary of the Browns fired Bill Belichick. And I go, the Browns did not fire Bill Belichick. The football team in Baltimore fired Bill Belichick. This Browns never fired Bill Belichick. It's my one little card I get to play. I have no cards I get to play with the Deshaun Watson trade. I want the Lakers to win. So it's like, hey, they traded away Luka Doncic. He was the soul of the city, and then he went and won a championship with the Lakers.
Am I wrong in saying I don't even think if they don't win, I mean, they're going to have Luka.
That's fine. It just cements this down even further.
They're
going to
have
Luka
for 10 years.
Yes.
I will at least always maintain, and I know we disagreed with it, but I will always maintain that on paper, and we know games aren't played on paper or seasons aren't played on paper. Like, Deshaun Watson was a top five quarterback. Yeah, the Browns had a roster that was ready to win the Super Bowl if they had a quarterback. It did make sense. I mean, third of the league, that at least we know of, went after Deshaun Watson. This made no sense. The Luka trade made no sense. You didn't hold an auction.
Yep.
You didn't involve other teams around the NBA to drive up the asking price. Like, you didn't do any of the things foundationally or that would make sense, the mechanics of a trade, where you have one of the best players in a game, top three players in a game.
And what you say is right.
This made no sense.
I just need them to win a championship so it puts everything in a nice box for everybody where they can say an easy sentence. Because everybody says, well, you gave up three first-round picks for a guy who was terrible. Okay, yeah. Well, we can give up that, but the Lakers, see, they traded for Luka Doncic. They traded away Luka Doncic, and they went and won a championship with the Lakers. See, that makes it just that much easier for me to make that argument so I can sleep a little bit better at night. One day away, like 36 hours away from the NFL draft, we go to three great places because we go around the AFC North. Remember, all guests appear on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. And the first stop is in Baltimore, 105.7 The Fan and Bob Haney in Baltimore. Bob, were there a lot of people who were worked into a shoot about our fan mock draft on your show about the guy who was there last week drunk taking a kicker in the first round or no?
Taking a kicker in the first round.
Yes.
I don't think the fans, to be honest with you, David's picked 27th, and the buzz about the draft hasn't really resonated yet because, you know, here we are, we're really good, and we're just drafting to fill needs. But, oh, kicker, certainly going to be addressed. Maybe not all Janikowski style in the first round.
Will Mark Andrews pay the fiddler? Will he pay a price for his drop and get traded?
Well, Barrett DaCosta, when he met with the media last, was asked the question, is Mark Andrews going to be on the team when they start the season? He didn't say yes. He didn't say no. Talked about how great of a Raven he's been, and they're not in the business of getting rid of players. Andrews himself met with the media a couple of days ago, and he said he feels for now that he is a Raven, blamed wet gloves kind of sort of for the drop in the playoff game against Buffalo. But apparently there's smoke anywhere that he could be gone because of a $15 million cap savings. You got to pay likely. All three tight ends are free agents. So a year ago, it would have been unfathomable to think that Andrews will be gone. Maybe not so much right now.
Now that we've put some time between this season coming up and last season, has it calmed down at all in Baltimore? Or could this be maybe better for Mark Andrews if he were to have a change of scenery?
I think he would be greeted warmly if he's on the team because he still is, you know, Lamar Jackson's number one red zone target. He had 11 touchdowns last season, only averaged barely 30 yards a game receiving, so kind of declining production in that regard. I think if he's on the team, all will be forgiven. It's still Super Bowl or bust, though, and they'll find someone else to blame if they don't win it.
Not just... Notice I went back through the years that Baltimore has had only one top 10 pick since 2004. Does that kind of kill the draft in Baltimore that the regular seasons are so good, but you guys are never picking towards the top of the draft?
Well, yes and no. And the last time they picked top 10, they took Ronnie Stanley, who's been a standout for them at left tackle, or they were in that 15, 16, 17 season range, so they were like mediocre, so picking in the teens and all of that. But 27, there's hope that a safety, maybe an offensive lineman will come in, cornerback, edge rusher. That's kind of the needs right now. But no, we're not getting flooded with calls about the draft. It's more about firing everyone at the warehouse.
Bob Haney with us. What would you do if you were the Browns?
The Browns, let's see, are they listening to offers for the second pick? I would take Abdul Carter, pair him up with Myles Garrett, make an unstoppable force getting to the quarterback when you have Lamar and Burrow in your own division, and maybe take a flyer on Milroe in the second round, something like that.
Who are the Ravens going to take? Do you have a name?
Malachi Starks out of Georgia. Safe.
Ooh. Did you say safe?
Safe pick?
Yeah, safe pick. Is that what you said?
Yeah, he pair him up with Kyle Hamilton, and then I think you got yourself a nice little safety duo for the and he plays like a Raven, air quotes. So Starks would fit in nicely, either him or M.N. Moore.
Outstanding. All right, Bob Haney, 105.7 The Fan in Baltimore as we go around the AFC North. Mo Egger, ESPN 1530 in Cincinnati, joining us right now. Okay, Mo, are they going offense at number 17, offensive line, or defensive line at number 17?
My guess is defensive line. I think they really like the depth at guard in this class. I think they really are hoping that Tate Ratledge is there at 49, that they can pair with his former college teammate Amarius Mims. I don't think it would be stunning if they took a guard, but if you made me make a wager on which side of the ball they're going to address, mainly just because they have a need at every position group on defense, those needs outnumber their one major need on offense. I would put my money on the Bengals at 17 if they stay at 17 using that pick on defense.
Well, you talked about staying, whether they stay there. What is the scuttlebutt? What do the fans want them to do?
I think most fans want the Bengals to do what Duke Tobin, the director of player personnel, wants to do, which is trade down. Look, they're an interesting team because if you look at any draft guide, when they list team needs, it looks like the list of team needs that you would see from a team coming off a 4-win season. Going through a rebuild, not one that has bona fide Super Bowl aspirations. And so they have to really nail it in this draft. They were kind of passive in free agency. They put the emphasis on what they're going to start doing tomorrow. And so the best way to address all those needs is to get more picks. And let's face it, they've got some players that they would either like to trade or that other teams would like to trade for. And so I think it's going to be interesting. I think if the Bengals take an edge rusher at 17, that's going to be an indication that they're willing to move on from Trey Hendrickson. And if you do that, you're getting more draft capital. I think, unfortunately, where the Bengals are is where a lot of teams are right now, right? This is a very top-heavy draft. Everybody wants to trade down. I think it's going to be really hard, especially if they don't include Trey Hendrickson in a deal, to find a team that's willing to trade up.
Well, I was going to ask that, Mo Egger, ESPN 1530 in Cincinnati. Is Trey Hendrickson going to be a Cincinnati Bengal by Friday?
My guess is yes, but you know what's interesting? 2 years ago, when Duke Tobin was asked about T. Higgins and whether or not the Bengals would trade him under the franchise tag, his quote was, go get your own wide receiver, right? Well, on Monday, Duke Tobin was asked about Trey Hendrickson and had an opportunity to say something similar. And while he didn't come out and say, yeah, we're going to trade him, or yeah, we're listening to offers, he did not take advantage of the opportunity to say, hey, look, go get your own edge rusher. And so I'm going to guess that Trey is still here because I think they value him in 2025. I don't think they believe anybody that they could acquire in the draft can replicate his 2025 production. But are they going to listen? Absolutely. They gave him an opportunity to shop himself for a reason. And that reason was they're open to trading him. And, you know, again, I think if you see them pluck an edge rusher at 17 overall, that's going to tell you either the Bengals have already traded Trey Hendrickson or they're very open to doing so and perhaps the deal is going to be imminent.
Mo Egger, ESPN 1530 in Cincinnati. Two more quickly. One, what would you do if you were the Browns?
You know, I think Travis Hunter is the greatest college football player that I've ever watched. I just like Abdul Carter. I think you pair him. Your previous guest pretty much clocked it. Pair him with Myles Garrett, and you're pretty much set rushing the passer. That's what I would do.
Wow, that's two in a row now, Tone. Okay,
best you've ever watched.
Wow. Yeah. Right, you know what? I'm gonna ask you about the Bengals staying in Cincinnati later, Mo. That threw me off. Thank you very much, Mo Egger, ESPN 1530 in Cincinnati. All right, Andrew Filippone joins us right now, 93.7 The Fan in Pittsburgh. Shedeur Sanders at 21. Would you do it?
I would. Now there's discussion here that this is all just a smokescreen, a ploy, a draft stratagem by Mike Tomlin to get people off the scent. And there's really a prospect they like more than Shedeur Sanders. It's a game they're playing with the media and the other 31 teams.
Do smoke screens even interest you anymore? I feel like every year we're having the same discussions in the lead up right before the draft, where every media guy comes in from every city and is like, I think it's all a smoke screen. Isn't that kind of the draft? Isn't that what it's all about?
I mean, this team barely interests me anymore.
Oh, come on.
It's the same thing every year.
So you're just bored, so you want them to fire a coach. That's why.
Yeah, you're right, Ken. Just 9-8 in perpetuity is the way to go.
Hey, you're bored. You just want something to talk about. See, this is the problem, folks. You guys accuse us of just wanting teams to be bad so we have something to talk about. Here's Pony is actually doing it. We don't do it that way.
Well,
You're right, Ken. Trust Mike Tomlin to develop the next Steelers franchise quarterback because he has such a sterling record when it comes to that stuff. Well, how's Kenny Pickett doing, by the way?
Seems to be doing just fine.
He's competing for a starting job.
Yeah.
My point exactly.
Go ahead, Tom.
Your fans, did they seem like they would embrace Shador, or do they want nothing to do with him?
Yeah, I think probably more of the latter. I think they'll be open-minded, and they'll say things like, well, no one really knows what they're doing at quarterback. Who knows? I mean, Brock Purdy was the last pick in the draft. Jamarcus Russell went first overall. Bill Belichick drafted Mac Jones to replace Tom Brady. This is a crapshoot. So those people will say, hey, Shador Sanders might work, but other people will point to Tomlin's record. For my personal record, I like Sanders. I think he has a chance to be a very good NFL quarterback, but the infrastructure here is not the best. If he falls to 21, though, I will be fine with the Steelers taking him because I'd rather have Shador Sanders as this team's quarterback than Aaron Rodgers.
Are you done with the Aaron Rodgers discussion yet?
I want to be, but he won't let me be, and the Steelers won't let me be.
When do you think we will have an answer about that?
Who knows? Apparently he's got multiple people in his inner circle that are going through horrible personal life issues, so we can't joke about it or make fun of it or call him out for it.
Yes, you can.
But Davante Adams told Mike Silver, let's roll. He needs to roll the red carpet rolled out for him like it's the freaking Cannes Film Festival. Screw off.
I think it's just called Con.
Well, it's spelled C-A-N-N-E-S, and I'm not French.
You're the one who went to Syracuse, so you're supposed to know better than me, so...
Teach us how to pronounce French words.
Buddy, it's your bills. It's your college education you wanted to pay for. Fine. They taught me in Akron the right way to say it.
Do you remember that?
I paid a hell of a lot less than you. Go ahead there, Tone.
Pony, when it comes to the Browns at number two, you're seeing everybody start to coalesce and say it's going to be Travis Hunter. Would that scare you? Mo Eggerstedt's the best college player he's ever seen.
But he still took Abdul Carter.
I don't think Travis would be in my top three of the players' eyes. Tim Tebow, Reggie Bush, Cam Newton. Those are the three best I've seen. Pony, would you like to power rank your best three college players you've ever seen?
Geno Toretta, Andre Ware, and Ty Detmer.
No Aaron Donald.
Donald invited me to his draft party, so we are very close. But I thought we were talking more guys that played on the offensive side of the ball based on the guys you had ranked. Guess what? I'm with Mo. I think the Browns are going to regret it forever if they take Travis Hunter over Abdul Carter.
You think we'll regret it forever?
Yes. I think you and Tom will be sitting around 10 years from now. You'll be going around whatever they call the division the Steelers and Browns play in once they add 4 or 5 European teams. And, we'll be looking back on the 2025 draft and you'll say, can you believe we took this player? We couldn't figure out how to play him, where to play him, how much to play him at both positions. And the guy who's a first ballot Hall of Famer who might break every single sack record played for the New York Giants instead of the Browns.
Yep. Would we be called the AFC Rust Belt?
Who else is in the division?
Well, you know, it'd be better than what our old boss was willing to call our cities, but that's a conversation for a different day, Pony.
Is it the same boss I used to have?
Yes, thank you very much for the time. Andrew Filippone, 93.7 The Fan in Pittsburgh.
Hamburg, would they be in our... Frankfurt, what are the teams?
Oh, in Europe? Yeah. I thought you meant Hamburg, New York.
No,
what?
Who's going to be in our division when they redo this whole thing?
I think it'll probably still end up being the Ravens, the Steelers, the Bengals, and the Browns.
The Bengals got a commitment of big-time money. County money.
Yeah, well, I was going to ask him.
Where's the state money? Are the Browns getting all the state money?
I knew we needed more time with Pony, and here we are. So, guys, listen, I know none of us like the Bengals. I don't want the Bengals to move. All right, all jokes aside, no. I don't want them to move to like St. Louis or anything like that. I don't want that to happen. You need those type of things. The AFC North is birthed from the rib of the Cleveland Browns when you really think about it. So I don't want them to have to go anywhere.